Hi, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Amy Richmond. We're on day 3 of our special retrospective of our series, Changing Your World. This series first aired in 2023, but don't worry, it's still relevant today, and we're not the only ones who think so. I'm in the studio today with Bella Sisson from Stevens City, Virginia, to talk about the episode called The Antidote to Anger, with host Jenny Sawyer and guest Carlos Machado. It's wonderful to be able to talk with you, Bella.
I'm so excited to be here with you, Amy.
Well, Bella is an intern here at the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston. Tell me about your internship. What's your focus?
So I'm interning at the Mother Church in the OCIO department, which is the Office of the Chief Information Officer, which is essentially tech services. So I get to work with lots of data and hardware, software, service desk, everything in there.
Wow, that's great. Have you learned a lot?
I have. It's been really great because they've been giving me all sorts of different projects. So I'm getting lots of new experience.
Did you come into the internship with a background in technology?
Yes. So I just graduated with a bachelor's degree in data science. So I've done a lot of data work before, not as much with the hands-on service desk work. So I've learned a lot about both types.
That's great.
It's been really exciting to get to use the skills I've learned in school and see how they can actually help the church with its real needs and everything.
That's great. So, Bella, I know that after you volunteered to be part of this project, you were assigned your topic. But did it answer any questions for you? Did you find it useful?
I absolutely did. I think it was maybe even more useful for me that way because it got me thinking about something that I wasn't focused on already. So I really appreciated it. I don't generally think of myself as an angry person, but the more I thought of it, I feel like there are things that come up in daily life, whether it's a little bit of frustration or, you know, resentment, things like that, even just in societal life as well. You know, it's so common to see road rage, anger at politics, even things where even if I don't feel like I'm the angry one, maybe I feel like I'm the victim of anger. And it's really interesting because I don't know that I would have chosen it on my own, but having been given it, the more I thought about it, the more I realized it was very applicable to my life.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what I love about that is sometimes it seems from the titles that something isn't going to resonate with us, but then it does.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a good example of that.
Absolutely. I've had great healings that way before, too, because I was just looking online at the Christian Science magazines and clicked on something that seemed interesting, not at all related to my problem, and then had a wonderful healing. So I very much believe in that as well.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. There wasn't anything in your life that particularly attracted you to this topic. But as you say, it's a world issue. I mean, we see it all over the place. It seems like, as they talked about in the podcast, that the world seems like an angry place right now. So we can all deal with that. Do you think that as you started to listen to it, did you have any questions that you wanted answered or not necessarily?
I think it was more that it brought new things to thought, where as I was listening to it, the guest was describing situations that he had gone through, and it made me think, oh, I've had something similar like that too. And sometimes it's, oh, I've had something similar, and I dealt with it with Christian Science. Sometimes, oh, I had something similar, and I didn't really address it the way that I now wish I had. And so I feel like it was definitely great for that element of bringing things back to thought and making me consider them in a new light.
So what was the most helpful thing in this podcast for you?
I really appreciated a point that the guest brought up at the end where he was saying that sometimes people feel like letting go of anger can be harmful to you, as in, you know, we should hold on to anger because otherwise things will never be fair in our direction. People might take advantage of us, that type of thing that seems to be a prevalent world belief. But the guest and the host were both really talking about how because God is with us always and God is supplying us with all we need, there's nothing that we can ever lose. And especially by doing something like seeing others with love, that's embodying God's qualities, really. And so we're not going to miss out on anything there.
Yeah, that's helpful. Is there anything else you'd like us to know about this podcast or this topic in general?
Like I was talking about with my experience, whether you feel like anger is something that's a big part of your personal experience or just something you're seeing in the world and maybe wanting to address, this is a really helpful podcast for bringing up ideas there. They go into so many interesting topics about there's work conflict, anger, there's also family conflict. They talk a little bit about world events as well. And really, I think through Christian Science, it's important to remember that it's all the same error and all the same nothingness. And so we're addressing it the same way. So regardless of how you feel it may be coming up in your life, or even if there's something completely unrelated to anger, it's a great episode to listen to just learn more about how to uplift your thoughts.
That's great. Would you recommend the episode?
I would absolutely recommend it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Now let's listen to Changing Your World, The Antidote to Anger.
Welcome to Sentinel Watch, a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. I have to admit, one of the things that I've been feeling recently is how everybody seems so angry with each other. It's like wherever you look, whether it's social media, comment sections, or even just seeing interactions while driving, it feels like there's a new climate of anger. This is part three in our four-part series called Changing Your World. And today, I'm going to talk about dealing with anger with one of my colleagues, Carlos Machado. So, Carlos, as I was saying, there seems to be this heightened climate of anger these days. And not only that, I think most people would say that their anger feels pretty justified. But yet, here you are coming to talk to us today about not that we don't have to be angry, but that we can actually deal with anger. And it's not just about shoving down emotions or saying that we shouldn't be angry. It's really about dealing from a spiritual perspective so we can rise higher.
Yeah, I like your point, because one of the things when I've had just moments of really feeling angry, I can tell that it doesn't just feel justified, but that there has been, at least, you know, from my perspective, there has been justification for it. Mm-hmm. But, I just kind of know from experience that there can be a feeling of injustice for whatever reason that makes that anger something very justifiable. So I do think that the way out of feeling like that's an inevitable thing, it's not just in finding like the right human perspective or just, helping somebody see something a different way. But we do really have to find a, like you said, I think a spiritual approach, something higher that helps us lift ourselves out of that.
Yeah, well said. Could you help listeners just to start, learn a little bit about what is your spiritual framework? How, when you are approaching something spiritually, what's the context for that? What does that mean?
Sure. I study Christian Science, which is it's based on the Bible, and it's based on the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, who is credited with discovering Christian Science. And some of what that means to me is that when I'm dealing with an issue, I am not just looking at it from my perspective on the situation or any number of relative things that could be looked at, but I am going to prayer, and that means just going to God in my thought and seeking a higher perspective, basically, to seeking how God sees the situation. And I've found that approach has yielded healing for me in a lot of ways, not just in relationship issues, but also financial and physical and any number of ways. So I've come to see that as something that I can trust and something that is fruitful for me.
And just expanding a little bit on this idea of bringing a spiritual perspective to these moments when either we see anger or feel anger, can you share something from your own life that shows how this can play out kind of practically?
Yeah, in my previous career, I was an architect, and I had a client who, for several reasons, had asked me to basically take care of a project while he was away. And this was something that I was not used to doing in terms of not having the client there to sign off on every decision and things like that. But I decided to go for it because it was something that the client had asked for and really needed help in a renovation. And so I took on the project, did as much as I could in terms of keeping the client informed and trying to get decisions from them, but also did as much as I could in getting the project to move along. And so the short story is that when the client returned, they were very upset about some of the things that had gone on in the project and how they were done. And it seemed like an unsolvable situation because for me, I had done what I thought was right to move the project forward according to the client's wishes. And for the client, I think he felt like there was something that happened that couldn't be fixed because he couldn't go back in time. So for both of us, there seemed to be very good reasons to react.
Yeah.
And so what happened is the client became very angry. And as I tried to propose several solutions of how to fix this situation, it almost seemed like it didn't matter what the solutions were, that they'd wanted me to suffer for it, to be punished for what had happened.
Oh, wow.
And
Did that in turn make you angry?
Yeah, I mean, I was...
Right.
And it was a combination of things. I mean, there was frustration that led to anger because, you know, I felt like I had tried to do everything I could to, you know, to work with this client according to their wishes and their parameters. And then this was kind of blowing up in my face and backfiring. And not only that, I mean, I was trying to propose solutions that I think would work, but it seemed like they were suffering because of the situation and they wanted somebody else to suffer with them. And that's at least what it felt like at the time.
Well, and I can imagine too, Carlos, that probably this brought up a fair amount of fear for you and probably for the client as well. And I think fear is almost always an element of anger because you feel in this position, I don't know whether it's maybe they felt helpless because you said, you know, they can't go back in time. You probably felt helpless to a certain degree because no matter what you proposed, they weren't accepting it. And that's where I think fear starts to come in. It's like, well, maybe there's not a solution.
No, absolutely. And in my case, I know that the fear had to do with finances because what they were proposing basically would mean a significant financial blow to me and to my practice.
Oh, got it.
And so I think that did bring up a lot of anger. And I think you're so right that fear is such an element of anger because when I look at situations around the world and I'm, you know, maybe we can get to that later, but you know, in a microcosm, we were sort of expressing those same things that go on, just the need to protect what's ours. And it's that fear of, you know, feeling helpless that leads to those feelings of justification and anger.
That's really well said. And I love the connection to the wider world. Help us understand, how did you move off of that place of anger and helplessness and fear?
Well, there were a couple of things. I mean, I had to hire a lawyer. That was part of the solution because the client went right to legal action. And I mentioned that because there was some actual spiritual lessons that I learned from just working with a lawyer. But at the same time, I just had to step back and say, this is going to need more than just a legal solution. And I called a Christian Science practitioner, which is someone who is a Christian Scientist. They devote their full time to helping people solve situations through prayer. And I started working with them. And I mean, they started praying with me and helping me find spiritual solutions to what was happening. And so one of the first things that started to dawn in my thought was that somehow I could look at this person on the other side as being God's child.
Oh, wow.
And at the moment, I mean, I think it was hard, but I say that it began to dawn in my thought because, I mean, this resolution came about fairly quickly. So I think over the next day or so, I went from thinking that there was a person on this other side that wanted to hurt me. The only thing that would make things good for them was for me to basically be put in a bad situation, or at least as bad as their situation was, to really seeing that, you know, they were also an expression of God, an expression of divine love, of principle, and that I could start seeing them from a different perspective. So, I mean, I completely credit that to the work with the practitioner, because, again, it felt like I had all the justification to be upset, to be fearful, and all of that stuff. And I don't see that as being something that I all of a sudden changed my thought, you know, for of my own self-will or anything like that. It was just really something that it felt like I was yielding to this higher perspective.
That's really powerful. And I want to just pause on that for a second, because to me, there's such a sense of comfort in recognizing that no matter how deep in anger or fear we feel like we are, or we feel like anybody else is, there is this active power of God that is, I guess you could say, at work on our behalf, this power of love that is really turning each of us to what's true. And I find that so reassuring, because I agree with you. I think a lot of times when we're deep in it, it can feel very hard, even if intellectually we know, like, okay, you know, here's what my spiritual practice has taught me. I can see this person through this more godlike lens. That doesn't mean that we feel capable of doing that at any given moment.
Right.
So it's really great to know that there is this activity of divine love going on that is turning us. Sometimes it's just bit by bit in the right direction.
Yeah, I like how you call it an activity, because it never feels for me when I'm trying to find a spiritual standpoint for these things that I'm just being passive about it and saying, well, it's God's will or something like that, you know, like whatever happens, happens. But that there does sort of come a point in prayer where you feel this presence that's active, that is not just taking away the bad stuff, like the anger and stuff like that, but it's actually thinking in a loving way and in a way that's progressive and leads to solutions. And so I really like how you frame that in terms of an activity, because it's not a passive thing.
And what is it specifically that you've learned about God from studying Christian Science? I mean, I think God can be one of those words that can almost be like throwing a bomb into a conversation, because
<Yep. laughs>
people can have such negative reactions to that word. What is it that you've learned that would make you want to turn in that direction and actually know that you can find help there?
It's a good question. In some ways, it's probably easier to say what I have learned God is not, because it's such a big term. I mean, before studying Christian Science, I did think of God as some sort of entity or being that lives somewhere. I mean, I did believe in God, but as something that was separate from me. Or, you know, as I grew up, I started to think of God as maybe kind of an energy or something like that, that, you know, was around or something that could be accessed. So I've learned that it's really none of those things. I like how Mrs. Eddy defines God by using synonyms that are found in the Bible. And one of those synonyms is mind, the divine mind. And so when we think about that, God would be omnipresent mind, just existence itself. But it's more about a question of redefining, okay, well, if God is the mind, what does that say about what intelligence is and what consciousness is? Because, you know, like, I already believe that intelligence exists. So then what does it mean for God to be mind?
Mm-hmm.
And so God has become more of just a presence, a spiritual presence in my life that I can understand.
Well, and it sounds like there's a very practical aspect to that relationship. I mean, I think as a Christian Scientist myself, I would say that one of the things that I have found so powerful is that God is not just some far-off being that may or may not help out, depending on whether I'm praying or not,
right,
or if
right,
I'm praying
yeah.
right, but that God is love. You know, there's just this yeah. solid sense of ever-present, all-present love. And so when I turn my thoughts in that direction and feel the reality of that, it's not getting God to do something as it is this recognition of what's already going on because of God's goodness and because of God's love, because God is this all-knowing mind.
Yeah, and I like this. So that's another synonym is love, divine love. And another one that I like pairing with that is principle. And that to me is like the law of existence itself. By understanding those laws, so our understanding of them does help us resolve problems.
The vantage point that you bring to this, which I think is a little bit different, is that we actually can deal with anger, and not only that, but we want to deal with that.
Yeah. I think that as we talk about getting a spiritual perspective for things, it's been helpful for me to realize that my thought needs to be open to what spirit is to begin with in order to find a spiritual perspective. And spirit is God. It's divine love, like you said. And so thoughts that are angry or feeling self-justified are not open to the perspective that comes from love.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said, I do think there are solutions there. And it's not just because, you know, love wants us to be open to to love or anything like that. It's because we want that. Because if we want to find solutions, we should be willing to be looking in that direction.
So what happened as you felt your perspective shifting? How did that then shift the situation?
Yeah, so right away, I began to at least be able to feel some compassion for this person. And that came in the form of I started to realize some things in their lives that they were feeling kind of helpless about. And it just kind of gave me some compassion to at least think about, well, you know, I'm not the only one that feels this way in the situation, and I'm open to, you know, figuring this out. And then, like I said, I learned some spiritual lessons from the legal work as well, because then what started to happen is I had to attend some of the meetings with the lawyers and basically just sit back and let them talk through, you know, what they were talking through. And my lawyer was talking about my perspective, my side of things. His lawyer was talking about his perspective and his side of things. But it was really neat that when they were discussing this, they were basically saying the same things we were, but there was absolutely no anger behind them.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah. It was like, you know, I could see that, yeah, I mean, what the things that I thought were still valid, they're still there. But the anger is this separate thing, is a separate thing that doesn't need to be a part of the situation. And really, it is not a part of the solution. And I started to see that they were basing their arguments on the law, which was really neat because, as I mentioned, you know, principle is a name that we have for God. And so it was like they were standing on a principle and just saying, we're going to work things out according to this principle that we both practice, that is the law. And so that got me to thinking that, you know, that was a symbol for how this could be worked out according to principle rather than emotion or personal feeling, that God being divine principle itself, there was a law applicable to this that would produce harmony, you know, produce a solution that was more in line with what God was, with divine love. And so that, you know, also got me to thinking about that there could be a solution that satisfied both people, you know, because love doesn't want one person to be punished and then the other one to come out ahead, or, you know, just real love just loves, you know, regardless of who anyone is. And so I started being able to open myself to that. And basically, within a relatively short period of time, a solution came about between the lawyers that both me and the client agreed with. I mean, I thought it was pretty close to some of the things that I had suggested to begin with, but all of a sudden it was just like, okay, here's like everyone's in agreement with this. And what looked to be very, very tense only a few days before was just all of a sudden something we could accept. And this is how I knew that it was that some bigger change had gone on, because, like I said, we did come to a resolution, and, you know, we can say, well, we're very thankful to the lawyers for their work and whatnot. But a couple of days after that happened, I got a call from the client, and he was basically saying, hey, I'm glad we got to this resolution. And then he said, you know, I know we've had our differences, but I have this other project that also needs to be finished. And would you be willing to work on it with me? Right. So, I mean, I could tell it was not just that my thought changed and I began to see him differently, but his thought changed as well. I mean, his thought has changed so much that he was willing to work with me again, and he was asking me to do so. And I was able to just be very appreciative of the offer, and just, you know, we were able to have that conversation where we both treated each other with respect and sort of parted ways in a very respectful, amicable way with appreciation for each other. So, I mean, that's not a solution that comes about from just finding a legal answer. You know, that's kind of the type of transformation, I think, that comes from spiritual regeneration.
Definitely. Can you say, Carlos, in a nutshell for listeners, what was your takeaway from this experience that's helped you when anger has come up for you since then?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that wasn't like the last time that I had to deal with an issue like that. I mean, there was another at work that, I mean, just got dealt with extremely quickly, you know, having learned that, having had that previous experience. And then just situations with family members or friends that where I began to realize that when it feels like anger is welling up, or fear, you know, that can lead to anger, or situations where someone is just doing the wrong thing and I'm, you know, on the receiving end of that, that I'm not going to find the solution by just pushing my way forward or making the best human argument that I can to convince the other person of that the real solution and resolution to the case is to find God's perspective on it, you know, that's what leads to healing.
I'm so glad you brought God into it again, because what I was hearing from what you were talking about, and also just bringing in my own experiences here when I've had times where I've, you know, been inclined to react or feel that kind of fear that leads to anger, is I think when those feelings well up, it's often an opportunity for me to ask the simple question, okay, where is God in this picture? Mm-hmm. Because I think anger comes from a very godless place, you know, just a place that says, like, we're alone, we're helpless, we're maybe at the mercy of somebody or some situation that seems totally unjust or frightening or whatever it is. But if I can take that breath and bring God into it, so to speak, not that God isn't already there, but just that acknowledgement that God is there.
Right. Right.
That is often, it feels like a lifeline. It's like, okay, all of a sudden, there's the potential for a solution here. I may not know what it is, and it may take some more work and humility and prayer to really get to that place that you were describing in your own experience. But just knowing that there is this power of good, this power of love that truly is at work on everybody's behalf. I don't know, that tends to sap a lot of the anger for me pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, I love what you just said, because it's also that because God is love, then whatever solution is godly includes me, you know? It doesn't include me suffering. It doesn't include me being left out or my situation not being taken care of. Omnipotent divine love cares for all and is powerful. And it is just a turning to that power, to that law that brings about solutions that doesn't leave anyone out. It includes the other person. So like you said, it does include often some humility, some at least rethinking of who we're dealing with and what we're dealing with. But it also includes us.
I have to admit that my interest has piqued because you mentioned situations with friends and family members. And I think that this is one where, gosh, is there a single one of us who hasn't at one time or another felt a sense of conflict with a friend or family member?
Sure, yeah.
Maybe you can take us through at least briefly how you worked through one of those situations.
Ooh, yeah, well, let me pick one. I mean, I can remember one that was pretty tough, because it was with my sister, who I love very much, but we had kind of a rough patch where we just, there were several things that we were not seeing eye to eye, and it was just leading to a lot of arguments. And often these arguments were over text, you know, and then it would, of course, make things worse. And so it just kept feeling like there were these like personal reactions that kept happening, that would just add fuel to the fire. And, you know, I think at that point I at least had some basis in learning that when those things happen, you know, that I need to find a solution. And that's one where I called a practitioner again, a different practitioner, but again, the things that I was feeling felt pretty justified and felt pretty real, but I at least knew enough to know that I needed help. And that's a situation that maybe took a few days, a couple of weeks. I, you know, don't exactly remember of praying and working with the practitioner, but I can remember too, there was such a shift of, again, just almost like seeing her again as God's child rather than whatever person that was very antagonistic to me. And just, again, just yielding to that perspective, letting it just permeate my thinking and letting it act through me, letting those thoughts be sort of a basis for where I acted and spoke from. I don't think I can overemphasize how it felt like that was a time where I wasn't sure if we were going to get out of it, you know, or how we were going to come out on the other side, if our relationship was going to essentially be different or if we were going to have a relationship after that. And I've had a relationship with her for many years since that has been very good and, you know, one that I'm incredibly grateful to have.
Well, thanks so much for being willing to share that, Carlos. I know we've all had situations with family members and it can feel hard to air those to the public, but I'm sure our listeners are appreciative. And it's helpful to realize that this idea of someone else also being God's child, the expression of love, that's not something, again, that we have to kind of will ourselves into seeing. I loved the phrase that you used, that you sort of let it permeate your thoughts. And, you know, I think that that's really key, whether we're dealing with a friend or family member or coworker, or we're looking at situations in the world that make us angry, to be able to, again, kind of step back and allow this spiritual perspective, God's perspective, to kind of come in and just permeate our thoughts. I think that's really where healing begins.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know that what we think has an impact on others. I know that because, for example, when I, on both of those situations, when I called the practitioners to help, it wasn't like I was really trying to sort of like feel humbler or feel like I, you know, could see these people as God's children. And then that happened. I couldn't do that. That's why I called for help. And I could feel the influence of their work. It was something, it was an influence that started to, you know, allowed me to see God's presence and allowed me to feel that. It allowed me to feel love's presence that changed the situation. And so certainly I think our thought adds to the atmosphere of thinking around the world. And when we are, even in our thought, just responding with anger or malice or fear or any of those perspectives that, like you said, just kind of don't allow for God to exist in our thinking, then we're not being that healing influence and we're not adding to that potential solution of just love being felt where people are and where they need it.
What would you say to listeners about when they look at situations in the world, which, my gosh, seem to be popping up at a more and more rapid rate? How can we be bringing healing to those situations in terms of our own responses to them?
Sure. I mean, I can speak a little to what I think I've learned. I mean, my own situations of feeling anger and feeling helpless have taught me to just have compassion for other people because, you know, I think in all of this, those situations, I've come to realize that whatever I was feeling was pretty close to what the other person was feeling. And that's why they were responding with anger and hate or whatever, you know, whatever the level of their response was. And so I know that I don't like those feelings, right? And, you know, nobody else does either. And so I think when we look at larger situations around the world, we can start to see that there are people struggling on all sides of conflicts and that having compassion in the situation is a at least a first step to that can lead to a solution. And I love thinking about how in a lot of the healings that are recorded of Jesus in the Bible and the Gospels, it says that he looked out on the crowd and he had compassion on them. And I feel like that can be a first step to just even begin to see people from the perspective of divine love, you know, that if we can see them as worthy, as God's expressions, then that's the opening for us to begin to think about them from the perspective that God is knowing about them.
Well, and what I like about that, and I think this is an important point to underscore, is that nobody gets let off the hook in those situations and nobody gets left out. Because I think that that's often what the fear or concern is about having compassion, that somehow either that means we're excusing bad behavior or it means that we're going to be the loser in the situation. Because, okay, we can be loving and we're just going to let the other person get their way. And I think especially the work situation that you related to us really shows that. Well, Mary Baker Eddy has a great line about this in Science and Health. She says, love is impartial and universal in its adaptation and bestowals. And so, as you said, love doesn't leave anybody out. And when we can get more of love's perspective, our vantage point broadens. Instead of just being little us worried about an injustice, you know, our perspective widens out so we can see just the power and infinitude of this love touching and including everybody.
Yeah, and that love, when you feel it, when you have a healing experience, it wipes away what you felt before. It wipes away the injustice. So it's helpful for me to think that at the other end of whatever I'm going through or whatever people in the world are going through, there is a possibility for them to just feel so whole and loved that the previous situation is wiped out. And I mean, like, wiped out of thought. I mean, in that situation with my client, it wasn't like I still felt like, well, this injustice still happened, but I feel okay now, you know. Mm. It just, I felt love for this person. And so there is an opportunity for real healing. And that's, I think, what's interesting about what I've learned about healing in Christian Science, that it's not just getting back to zero or somehow harmonizing human elements so that the best possible human solution between the two happens, but that it really is a restoration to their divine nature, to their true essence as God's children, which is higher than usually our highest expectations of what can happen in the situation, you know? And so we can go in that direction knowing that we're not only not going to be left out, we're going to be better off than we're hoping to be.
That gives me a lot of hope for our world, Carlos.
Good. This gives me hope too.
Thanks so much for being here today, Carlos. It's been great chatting with you.
It's been good chatting with you, Jenny. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode again, or maybe for the first time. We hope Bella's thoughts helped you listen in a new way. Now we want to know, do you have an episode that's been meaningful to you? Perhaps one that's led to a new insight or even healing? Let us know. We would love to talk about it with you. And don't forget to check out our other three episodes this week. You're going to love them. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Amy Richmond. The podcast is produced by me, Carlos Machado, and Sovi Ungerleiter. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Cates. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.